Han satt der i McCaféen med pensumboka og en latte, og for tredje gang bladde han en side tilbake og leste den på nytt. Og igjen var det som om ordene som sto der bare stokket seg og ikke lenger hadde noen betydning. Men han så at alle andre som satt der klarte å jobbe. Så hva var egentlig problemet hans, annet enn det åpenbare? At eksamen var tre dager unna, og han bare en tredjedel inn i pensum. Og det er sånne ting som gjør at noen tar opp en vindusplass her hele dagen. Men sånn er livet. Og McDonald's er bare en liten del av det, tross alt.
21. august begynner Beyond Gates I Bergen. Der spiller blant annet Nekros Kristus. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og traff dem på Beyond the Gates I 2013. Jernverket podcast gir deg et gjenhør.
Okay, sitting here with Nekros Kristus. Could you please tell me your names and what you do in the band?
Yeah, so my artist name is Mors Dalos Rand. I'm doing guitar and vocals.
Mm-hmm. My artist name is The Reverend and I play guitar.
The Reverend.
Yes, of course.
Is that were you baptized, the Reverend?
No. My partner in crime here came up with the idea. Actually, we were wearing priest shirts so a few years back. That was our stage dress, and actually, I was probably. People really like the outfit on me. I don't know.
I told them that he always looked like a reverend from the States, you know, like a true one. And it's all like, okay, and the nickname came up. So he is a true reverend.
Do you still use the costumes?
No. Well, we used to wear the shirts, but we weren't really. We were altering that a little bit. Like, we took away the collar, the white collar, so it doesn't really look like a. Catholic priest shirt anymore because the music is not really just focused, you know, on like religion, like Christianity, and there's a lot of other influences in there and elements like from India, from
Arabian world, Middle East in general. So
it just didn't really fit anymore. So we thought to make it a little more. Fitting to the whole concept, we should change that a little bit.
Mm. So your music changed. You were more into the religious before, or was it just by accident that you started to wear like priest clothes?
No, it was like it changed a little bit from the content of only blaspheming this type of. Special religion. Now we focus on a lot of topics from, as said, Middle East and of course Christianity, of course, but it's not always about blaspheming this field. Now we got more into this, we wanted to express a serious field with a more serious clothing. And I really like the priest garments, but I think now our garments, the oriental ones we use, just fit the music better. And it enhances the atmosphere, and we are one of the few bands doing this kind of stuff. There are not a lot of bands just dressing like that. Most like death metal bands dressing with like bullet belts, stuff like that. We did that in the past, of course, and with hoodies, everything. I really like that, but I think now, just for the new shape we have as a band with all the new members, we are really a tight, really force of power, and I think those clothes perfectly represent our state.
Mm. But can you tell us about the beginning of Nekros Kristus? When did you become a band? Are you two founding members, by the way?
Yes, I would say I'm the founding member, but he entered like in 2002 or 2003,
I'm not sure. Pretty early. I think the band was...
No, not 2003.
No, I didn't join, but I started recording the demo.
Yeah,
the demo.
That's true. Yeah.
So that's actually the first contact happened, I think, in 2002?
I was 2003.
2003, yeah. Pretty well, 10 years, hey. Have to celebrate.
More beer.
No problem there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so how did you come up with the idea, I want to start this band? wanted to be called.
There was no real idea, actually. It was like when I started the band or the sound, I was kind of fed up from all the scene, and I played in death metal bands for like 12 years already. I started to play in bands at 1999. That would be a little bit too long, but no, 1990. And I was like, okay, let's do something totally different. And I just let things flow. And then there were the first songs. And I recorded the demo, and I was like, okay, that will be a one-time thing, just doing the demo, and we will see. But it went so well, and the sound was so... I was so addicted to its sound that I was soon to, require band members and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so you were alone first.
Yeah, I was alone, and I had programmed drums on the first demo tape, which I still really like, but it's a kind of really strange atmosphere. And then there was one drummer with me, and then there came... I think we became a real band in 2005, I guess. 2004, 2005. There was like the beginning of a real band. And the Reverend entered, I guess, as a guitar player in 2007, right?
Yeah.
But he was our main studio engineer. He recorded our demos from Black Mass Desecration on, which was the second demo, actually. So he was really... He knew the style really well, and when we thought about integrating a second guitar player, he was our first choice, because he's amazing in everything, recording and playing. So I can't...
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it is so.
You are the reverend.
He is. For me, he is so. I wouldn't have him on shows, and then, like in general, the Necros Christus would be half of it. So.
But are you writing the music together, or are you the brain?
Actually, it's me. Yes. But he has a lot of good ideas, and I have mostly... I finish a song, and when we rehearse it together, there's everyone getting an input. Like our drummer Iban is like, okay, what do you think of playing this like that? And he is okay. We can change the riff here a bit if you want to, and it's really respectful. In the rehearsal room, everyone is getting his ideas into a song. Of course, there is a song first from me, but it's not that I'm being the dictator, like, no, we won't change any note because I wrote it. It's senseless.
He writes the music, I make my comments, then he writes it again.
Yeah, actually, it's like that. So.
Not really, but of course, I tell my opinion because he asked for it.
Yeah.
Then and I'm an honest person. And
really honest.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It can be. Or not. It depends. No. So the only thing I'm doing by myself is the leads, solo, guitar solos.
Yeah, totally.
But all the other music is really his idea.
Yeah. But you put out quite a few demos and splits before you decided to come up with an album.
Yes.
Can you tell us about the process of reaching for, or the when you decide to make an album? Why did it take so many years before you went to the stage to do an album?
No, I guess we never felt any hurry. So I think quality, it's the old way, quality needs time. And when you look at the music business as it is today, there are a lot of young bands, and what they do put out first is an album. I mean, why? I love the old way, like doing a demo tape first, experience with your sound, then doing maybe another demo tape, and then you really need to take your time for an album, because for me an album is a huge thing. Today we have the MP3 generation, everyone is like skipping the songs on his iPod or whatever, and when I ask young guys what is your favorite song, oh, I don't know what the band is called. I mean, imagine that. And when I say, okay, Who's doing that song? Who's the composer? Oh, I don't know the name, but I like this song. So for me, an album is like a task. It's an album from a band. It's art. And I really want to take our time to fulfill this great task. And it took a lot of time, but I think it... Yeah, I mean, the result was really, really promising and good. I'm not so amazed by it after all those years, but I think it's really a great first album. And our second album was the same. We took us 4 years to get there. And I'm really satisfied with the second album. And now it will take some years more to have the final one.
Mm-hmm. So you're in progress with a new album?
Or? Yes. Are we? We are.
Well, we started rehearsing new songs. We have two now, not fully done, but the first step is done, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I've written a lot of material for it, but as a band, we can play like two songs now. And we have a lot of concerts coming up with like this one today, and then we will play in Essen, and then we will play a tour. And then we shall concentrate on new songs, but we will play live as well. So it will take some time. Yeah. We got to ask the same question, right? On Thursday, we did a radio interview in Germany, and you said it won't be...
I don't expect it to be out before probably middle 2015.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of work. The final album will be longer than the previous ones, because we will have more temples, more gates, still 9 songs, but the trilogy again. So I would say we end up doing a double album.
Oh,
yeah,
it could be because even the temples next time will be probably a lot of them like full musical pieces. Not just like 30 seconds, like before, and it's just huge amount of music that has to be recorded too. Not only written, but we have to record everything.
Yeah,
and we have lots of plans to use other instruments again, not just the standard drums, bass, electric guitar. A lot of different acoustic instruments. Maybe a real choir again and all that. You know, I have to organize a lot of logistics that have to be taken care of. You know? So it's just time consuming. I mean, and we can't do it like 24/7 because we all have day jobs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And he has family. So it just takes a good amount of time to prepare that. And this will be the final album and want to deliver something really good. So. Yeah. There's no reason to hesitate, you know.
The final album?
Yeah.
Okay, so
it'll be the final album.
You will call it a quits after that.
Not directly. We will continue playing live, of course.
It will be promoted for sure.
Yeah, of course. Yes. And I mean, we have such a good lineup by now. We have a new drummer by now, we have a new bass player and amazing guys, and we just played one show yet with a new lineup, but it went really, really good. And of course we want to promote the new album then with another tour, and luckily we get a lot of offers also from the States, from Australia. We have to do that next year, I hope so. There's so many work to do, so we won't quit the band just after releasing the album, but it will be the final recording.
Okay, yeah. Why have you decided to make it, you mentioned the trilogy.
Yeah, it was clear from the beginning that there will be just 3 albums, 3 times 9 songs, 999. And then it will be fulfilled. We talked about maybe having an EP before with one new song and some special things, but I don't know if it will become a reality. So what we are going for is this album, which will be huge. And I don't like bands like saying, oh, now we are dead now, and then they reform a year later.
Yeah.
For me, it's senseless. Mm-hmm. One of the main reasons to call the quits after the next album is we aren't able to release an ordinary metal record because we began with that with such huge concept for the first one. It even get even more bigger on the second one, and we can't release an album with like, okay, we play 9 songs and then it's done. So it's like a mess in its own, and I can't think about doing 6 more albums like that because it does cost so much energy, and we want to, I mean better release 3 great albums than 6, and there's like 2 which are totally shit, whatever. I mean, just look at the scene, there are so many death metal bands from the early 90s still around, and there are a few which I really would like to see anymore, and some are really, I mean, they're old men playing death metal, and there are few which I think it's okay, he convinces me, but there are a lot which like, okay, no, I mean, better 3 super class, and then.
But it's quite done. A decision you did that decision years ago.
Yes,
and you've been holding on to that,
yes,
for all those years.
And I promise you, there won't be a fucking reunion because someone is just offering us. I mean, kidding, no, yeah. But someone is offering us €60,000 for a fucking reunion show. No way. I mean, we can do another band after that.
Yeah, you'd rather...
No problem, or whatever. So, but I think Necros Christus is really so special in its appearance and in its recording process and in the albums that there is no room left for 6, 7, 8 albums.
So you couldn't just change the theme?
No.
You'd rather take a new name?
Yeah.
Mm. Because your creativity, it won't disappear. So
no, it won't disappear, but it's such a, it demands such a huge effort to do such albums. So really, I want to do 3, and we have such amazing guys in the band, and we will see what will be afterwards. But I mean, count in years. We will have the record out maybe 2015, and then we will continuing playing live, doing tours. It could be that we will be around till 2018, 2019, 2020, whatever. There's no time frame.
We don't have any pressure.
No, and we don't have any rules.
There's no one who tells us, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. We decide by ourselves how we take the time we need. And after that, we will just see.
Yeah.
Which label are you on?
We have 2, actually. The main, you can't see the main, but the first label was Sepulchre Voice Records. And we will still be on the Sepulchre Voice Records till the end. And since our second interview...
We have to move.
Okay.
Han satt der i McCaféen med pensumboka og en latte, og for tredje gang bladde han 1 side tilbake og leste den på nytt. Og igjen var det som om ordene som sto der bare stokket seg og ikke lenger hadde noen betydning. Men han så at alle andre som satt der klarte å jobbe. Så hva var egentlig problemet hans, annet enn det åpenbare? At eksamen var 3 dager unna, og han bare en tredjedel inn i pensum. Og det er sånne ting som gjør at noen tar opp en vindusplass her hele dagen. Men sånn er livet. Og McDonald's er bare en liten del av det, tross alt.
Tight time frame, and it was like, no way, we can't do it again. No, so it's like, I'm sorry.
But you do a lot of interviews?
Not radio interviews. No, not a lot. I did a lot of interviews for the last record, but actually, I stopped doing interviews for like half a year ago, or maybe even a year ago. I said, no, now it's everything set. And I won't give any written interviews till the new record will be out.
Mm.
Because it's too much time to spend before the fucking PC doing interviews. You know, it's like typing for hours.
Not just short interviews. I saw some of them, it's like 30 questions.
Yeah.
Especially the ones from South America, they're like super long.
I mean, 35
and
questions.
Sit there really like forever answering those questions. Mm-hmm.
And no one reads them.
And no one reads them. And then sometimes the Mac, where the interview was supposed to come out, it just didn't come out. So there's no sense for me spending like hours before the fucking computer answering interviews, and then there will be no output. You know? Mm. So it's nothing against whatever, nothing against the fans, or I value them so high, but I want to play and not you answering interviews. So
I'm lucky to be a radio host.
Yeah. So thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But could you just tell us a bit more about the theme of the albums? Because you say it takes a lot of energy to compose them, so they have to be quite heavy, both in the lyrics and the composition.
I think...
What is it all about, since it takes so much from you?
I mean, what he already mentioned, imagine... only the logistics when you are playing with different musicians, when you want to integrate different instruments. Mm. Like, you have to arrange rehearsals, you have to arrange all the musicians coming into the studio to perform. So there you have one gate maybe with like four minutes where an ensemble is playing, and it demands like a lot of rehearsals, just managing it all to come together in the studio and then go for the whole record, which is so long. So I mean, that's the main not problem, but that's the main effort, to get it all under one time frame.
It just takes up a lot of energy to do this, you know, next to everything else. It's,
look at my head. There's no hair anymore. Guess why? Same for
you. Scratching your head too much in the studio.
Yeah, yes, yes. No hair left.
But I always ask the bands of their personal favorites, and okay, that's a cliche question, but I like you two to compose my show so that you can choose 4 or 5 songs each that I will play. And together with the interview, could you?
Okay.
Imagine? Yeah. What, one of your own, and the rest should be just your favorite metal bands.
Ooh. Oh, one of our own choice.
Mm-hmm.
I love so many bands and so many different styles of metal.
Doesn't matter.
No way if it's heavy metal or if it's doom metal and or if it's so you're from Norway, right?
Yeah.
You're from Oslo.
It can be whatever. I play all kinds of metal except from metalcore and folk and stuff like that. But if the bands really want me to play a core song, I'll do it. But I hope you don't.
I mean, it's kind of maybe a little bit. We just met the guys, and if I can decide for my friend here as well, I would like to have a song from Griftegard, from the Swedish doom band.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really inspire me, they really inspire us. They're absolutely amazing guys, and I heard, man, we are talking about that, you hear the bells?
Mm-hmm.
I heard it today, that their drummer died 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Yes, he was, I guess, 38, and he was an amazing artist, amazing guy. I was speechless when Per and Tommy from Giftegard told me that today. So I really would like to hear a song from Giftegard.
Mm-hmm. Any special song?
No, could be everyone, because they have no bad songs. Everything is high class.
Mm-hmm. So in honor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be really good.
Yeah.
Mm. I think I have to name one of my favorite bands is Morbid Angel.
Yes, me too.
I would probably choose one of the Covenant album, because it's one of the best outputs they made, in my opinion.
Covenant or from Altus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
Maybe I would. Yeah. If we could choose two, one of the favorite. one of my faves from Altos Madness is what's the name again?
Lord of the Fevers and Plagues.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's a great one. And maybe I don't know, Rapture from Covenant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great tunes, great band.
Yeah, definitely.
Just saw them last year.
Yeah, in December,
my birthday. They were playing in Berlin that same day. We saw them, unfortunately, not with Pete Zandervall on drums, but still, Tim Young is doing a good job. Still amazing band. David Vincent is an amazing frontman. They had a perfect sound, great show, and just
definitely
killer band.
The last album sucked. You have to agree.
No,
not really. To be honest.
We belong to the guys who really like the metal songs. I won't listen to the other songs, but you know, it's the same kind of thing.
When Blades for Bow.
Yeah, great one. Or I Am Morbid, fucking great song.
Okay.
Yeah,
I wouldn't believe it after you said that many of the old death metal bands continued to play. But
Morbid Angel belonged to those who still convinces me. And when we saw them, I was like, okay, I know why the guys have that legendary status, because it's an amazing machine, this band.
This is interesting.
Yeah, of course. And I really like the metal songs from the last record. I do, definitely. Yeah. He as well. So, no complaint. And if someone doesn't like the other songs, you can skip the songs, right?
Yeah.
It's the same as Necros Christos. Fans always complain about all the acoustic interludes and stuff. I mean, what the fuck? You can skip the songs. Just listen to the metal songs.
Yeah, because you have them between every song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can skip it easily. So
I think they make the whole one. They do.
I hope so too. But I mean, why complaining all the time if a band is doing something great, man? Okay. I don't like the Morbid Angel industrial tracks. I never liked them on any record, and I don't like them on the new one. But the metal songs are still absolutely great. And especially live.
Plus, I think if I might add that, in my opinion, a band should be able to decide by themselves what they want to do.
Yep.
If they decide to do, that's a stupid thing now, to make hip-hop now, you know, then okay, let them do it. You don't have to like it, and then just don't listen to it, you know. But all this ranting, and especially on the internet, where people can hide themselves, you know.
Yeah, and everyone is a self-proclaimed critic in its own.
Yeah, and it's just over the top, you know.
Yeah.
All this, if you don't like someone else's music, just don't listen to it. Why write any bullshit?
Never mention
or
it.
Go there and in the worst way sometimes. I mean, it's just, if you take a look at Blabbermouth, I think they just recently changed now that people, if you want to post something, a comment, that people really see your real name or full name, and suddenly the post stopped. Imagine why.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing, because that was one of the worst things at all. Yeah. You know, reading sometimes what people are writing about other bands, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with them? No, it's not cool.
No.
So, yeah.
I mean, if I don't like a band, I don't write any shit about him.
No.
I just write nothing.
Correct.
Why to bash someone?
You can talk shit with your friends in a room.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
But don't
your
don't post
in
it on the fucking internet, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
so yeah.
Yeah, we
more
still
songs.
Need more songs.
okay.
We have two from Morbid Angel, and
are we definitely need Black Sabbath. For me, it's one of the main bands, Black Sabbath. So what we can, I can, you can choose from Black Sabbath. I mean, I love nearly all eras of Black Sabbath. No matter if Ozzy or Dio or Tony Martin, I really like the Tony Martin stuff as well, which they did in Headless Cross. But of course, the first album always is like,
something
the main thing.
Mm.
And we need Candlemass as well, definitely.
Just thought of them.
Yeah, Candlemass is a must. We need as well.
Yeah, it's
so much out there.
I mean, yeah, I'm really into kind of Blue Oyster Cult as well. The old Blue Oyster Cult stuff is really great.
Specific song?
Like Cities on Flame, the classic one. But I really like the riff. It's like amazing. My favorite from the last record is The Pharaonic Dead. What a great song. His lead is the best lead on the whole record. Just listen to his solo playing. Amazing. So yeah, play Pharaonic Dead.
Oh, cool.
And what I really like from the death metal field is, of course, Possessed.
Mm-hmm.
One of my main influences as well. And it should be from Beyond the Gates, not from Seven Churches. I mean, Seven Churches is an amazing album, but Beyond the Gates, I even like that more. So
well,
it's could
a
play
fitting,
from...
fitting title, actually.
Yeah, really. Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah, haven't thought about that. Right?
I just noticed.
do a song from Beyond the Gates, of course.
Du har hørt et intervju med Nekros Christos, første del av en Beyond the Gates-serie Jernverket kjører nå fremover. Neste vecka treffer vi Morgan fra Marduk.
Jo, og det kan jeg forstå at vissa band har en idé om det, men i de fleste fall tror jeg det handler om at de for dårlige band. Det det handler om i grund og botten. Men vi ser jo styrkan og kraften i vår musik, og jeg tycker at den gjør sig best når den framförs live. Jeg mener, en studiospilling er bra på sitt sätt, men...
Är du nysgjerrig på Beyond the Gates-festivalen från 21 till 24 august kan du för exempel höra tidigare Jernverket-episoder med Obliteration, Arcturus och Midnight. Abonner på Jernverket-podcast via podcast-app eller gå in på jernverket.com. Och hvis du kan, lägg igen en 5-stjerner av Jernverket där du lytter, för det bidrar till att fler får med sig podcasten. Jeg trenger også hjelp fra annonsører eller frivillige givere for å kunne fortsette å lage podcast. Sugen på å spre ordet om et produkt, send meg en melding. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for månedens album fra Katakomben, diskusjoner, konkurranser og nyheter. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrockintervju hver fredag. Vi høres!